Hello and welcome into Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio. I'm Clara Apollo, your host and guide here for this episode. I'm an elemental Qigong energy mentor dedicated to authentic expression through movement and sound. And I'm a mum of one lad who's a music producer who's now in his 30s. But we're all here in the mother realm together. We're all birthed from the mother. We all stand on our great grandmother earth. But as we're in this zone together for the next little while, please do go and make yourself comfortable and settle into your being, and let's begin. In this show, we speak into mothering things that matter on topics across the birthing board, from babies to books, artworks, music and new projects, to remembering to parent our relationships, animals and oneself, plus all the conundrums of being seen as a woman in this day and age. So this show is inspired by our Wake Up Mother community, where a race of us were called together to co-author the book Wake Up Mother, which is a rich and varied adventure through our experiences so far that you can find out more about on our website, wakeupmother.com. And on one of the previous episodes, we had the world-renowned angel author, teacher, grandmother, the octogenarian Diana Cooper was in talking about, well, she's talking about many things actually, but the dance between the masculine and the feminine energies and how conscious communities are the way forward into the golden age. Honestly, I've never seen her so clear and erudite. Her wisdom just spills like from every pore. I was really bowled over in the most incredible way. So if you feel drawn and you haven't heard that before, then drop over to our on-demand section here on UK Health Radio or on podcasts. Plus, that episode appears on Qi Time TV, which is my channel on YouTube. But on to this week. And we are diving deeply into the child-free zone with two exceptional women, Jennifer Flint and Lise Wild. So Jennifer is one of the contributors to the Wake Up Mother book. She's a leadership coach, a mentor, an independent celebrant, and a speaker. And she's a master NLP practitioner and qualified coach, and a passionate writer who recently published her first novel, Wild Egg, a story of one woman's search for her child-free life. So it's an absolute joy that you're here with us, Jen. Welcome in.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
And I feel like doing a little fanfare here. So Lise Wild is with us. She's a shiatsu practitioner, a writer, artist and cancer survivor. She's a very dear friend of mine. We've known each other since London days. Mm-hmm. And we found each other here on the land of Avalon. In fact, she's I'm going to say in the studio. She's here in the Cheeky Temple. I'm going to pull her over to the mic to say hello.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Jen. Hi, Clara. Lovely to be here.
Yeah. It is, after all these years, it's amazing that the spiral comes round again and again. So, but why are both of you on this show to talk about the child-free life? It kind of, didn't some serendipity happen but with you two meeting each other? Is there a story there that would be good to share with listeners?
Yeah, I went up to Holy Isle. I was needing a bit of a retreat space. I've come through a couple of really tough years. And I needed some time, and I went to volunteer, and I met Jen in the kitchen doing the volunteering. We did about 3 hours volunteering a day, and we were drawn to each other. And we spent a lot of time just hanging out and talking and, yeah, really having a wonderful time. I really enjoyed it. Wouldn't you agree, Jen?
Absolutely. It felt like we were so meant to meet. And I guess that was my seventh visit, I think, to Holy Isle, which is one of the big characters in my novel, Wild Egg. And I think I was going really to say thank you to the island for all the inspiration. And I left a copy of Wild Egg in the library. And it was just beautiful kind of meeting as I was kind of almost closing loop on my journey. You were talking about how, you know, you're embarking on publishing your own story. So, yeah, it was a really beautiful, very serendipitous meeting. And couldn't believe then that we were connected to you as well, Clara.
It was so exciting when you and Lise was telling me. I'm like, oh, we've got to do a show. and here we are. So both of you beautiful women have chosen not to have children. And I think it would be a really good topic to speak into here for other people who are listening, who for, you know, their own reasons, have chosen not to have children, and how in this culture that is so like fixated, or like, you know, what's that wonderful word that you use, Jen, around how cultures are fixated on having children in them? What was it? I should have spotted this one. It's wonderful. Come on, it's in your chat.
I know, I'm like, what word are you talking about?
Yeah, it begins with, they're well mean. Anyway, you chat amongst yourselves and I will find this one.
So, yeah, I mean, it's great to be here, isn't it? It's great to be here as a woman without children, actually. Yeah. It's great to be here as a role model. That's what I'm finding.
Yes.
You know, within my own journey. Mm. And I think, I mean, I've read your book. You very kindly, Jen very kindly gave me a copy of her book, the book that she, you know, she wrote, Wild Egg, and I took it back with me and I've read it and it's absolutely delicious. I really recommend it to anybody out there, any woman out there. And Clara's
I'd love to. I've found the word. The word is pronatalism.
Oh, pronatalism, indeed. The water in which we swim. Yeah. Do you want me to say a little bit about
that? Yeah, can you explain what that's about?
So pronatalism is really a term to describe the ideology which puts forward the belief that the only way, the way, to come into full maturity as a woman is via motherhood. And, you know, puts out, I guess, a very strong cultural messages that's our role as women, is to be a mother. Growth is good, you know, that we'll never know the true meaning of love unless we give birth to children. So it's very much about pro-birth and fusing together the idea that is the rite of passage for a woman, and that somehow you'll be a bit barren and empty if you don't go through that threshold. And I think it's a bit like that, you know, we don't even often recognize that's happening in our culture, because it's just the air we breathe, it's the water we swim in, and it's everywhere. And I think it also affects mothers in the sense that there's this idealized view of motherhood which we're meant to all try and aspire to and fulfill. So I think it traps us both ways.
Yeah, it does actually. As a mum of a kid who's now in his 30s, you know, it's like I remember that whole when he was going to be leaving home, which is what they do, kids, I had to prepare myself to becoming child free. And I went through a whole grieving process. And I know there's something in the book, Wake Up Mother, Jen, where you speak about, in fact, didn't you go to the Holy Isle? Wasn't that what was when you first did that? The grieving process for can you tell us a little bit about your backstory, about why you decided not to have a kid?
Absolutely. I mean, I was very ambivalent for as long as I could remember, actually. So I felt I had never really kind of made a definitive decision one way or another. So I kind of guess I kicked it in the proverbial long grass until I was 41. So I was getting on a bit, frankly, by this point. And my second husband, in a beautiful, unguarded, very tender moment, just at the point where, you know, that classic thing where you've done your house up and, you know, after I'd just got a big promotion at work, we'd got through a rocky patch in our marriage, I was like, at last, I've got my life sorted. Now I'm just going to smell the roses kind of thing. And he turned around one evening and just looked at me straight in the eyes after, admittedly, a few glasses of fizz, and said, I'd really like us to have a baby. And my mouth just like hung open for a few moments. And I realised, and it sounds kind of, in a way, when I hear myself say it, I think, I can't believe that I got to this point, having not realised this myself, but I had just a stunning moment of realization where I suddenly, it jolted me. And I realized that in every other realm of my life, I'm a very conscious and intentional person. I was like, wait a second, why am I not making a choice here? What's going on? This doesn't feel okay. And I thought, this is the biggest decision that I'll ever make. Do I want to birth another human being in the world? I need to make a no thank you or a hell yes choice here, because otherwise the choice will be made for me and that doesn't feel okay. So I woke up the next day feeling like, my world had turned on its axis, thinking, oh, well, I'll just sit down, write some pros and cons, job done. And I probably thought if you'd asked me, I would have quite quickly and easy made a decision. No, it wasn't for me. But that isn't what happened. And as I like to describe it, I sort of felt like I fell down an existential rabbit hole. And the more questions I asked, the more I got confused, and the more I just ended up in this place of real torment. And I think looking back, because it's 10 years ago now, what happened to me was I think this social conditioning from pronatalism began to surface. So I started to worry about, is that, so it was like there was this little voice going, is there something wrong with me? Like, am I selfish and cold? And like, is there something not right? And will I regret it if I don't have children? And all of this stuff just came to the surface that I'd never really been conscious of it. And I didn't even realize at the time it was what I now know is that all the pronatalist conditioning that I had, as we all do. So I just, and it took me a whole year because after a while, I was unable to break through using pros and cons list despite trying for about 3 months. Really gave it a good go. Then I went to do some alternative therapies and psychotherapy and body work therapy and various healing things to get more in my body and out of my head. And then one day, I think how I would describe it is like my truth spoke to me. And she just said in a really quiet voice, motherhood is not my path. In a moment where I practically ripped the cabinet door off its hinges and swallowed my pill because I'd come off the pill. I'd had a miscarriage as part of the journey, and then suddenly realized, actually, I don't want this. So this voice spoke to me. And in the wake of that, in that moment, I remember hearing myself say that was an whole, and I could feel it in every cell of my body. That is a whole, that's my truth. That's my wholehearted choice. And then I remember on the back of there was a sort of pause. And then the next thing I heard was, now what? It was kind of like,
Yeah, where do I go
oh,
now?
now what do I do then? Like, so what do I want? What if that's the no, what's the yes?
I love it. I love it.
So
Oh, thank
yeah,
you. Thank you
and that
so
led me to
much.
Holy Isle, where I realized, actually, I think I've got to grieve. So even though, just to conclude that, I think what I realized was that even though I'm saying no and that's my choice, there's still a grief that comes with that because I know there's a lot of things that I'm never going to have and I'm choosing not to have them, but that doesn't mean I don't feel sad about it. So that's what led me to Holy Isle, to really just consciously grieve and let those things go so that I could work out what am I saying yes to instead.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that is such an honoring of that whole process of a yes or a no. It's not as defined as that. It does warrant this journey into what are the questions here. And I bet Lisa's got something she'd like to share with us. But what we need to do now is go to a break. And so we will come back with Jen Flynn and Lise Wild to talk about the child-free life and those conscious decisions that go on behind the scenes to enable that to occur, and what you then want to be doing if you're not giving birth to children. But before we, I'm just going to pass over to Lise because she has chosen the first track. So I'm going to ask her what it is and why she's chosen it.
Well, it's a keen track and it's Somewhere Only We Know. It's one of my all-time favorite tracks and it speaks to me. I mean, I'll speak more after the break about the whys of it, but it speaks to me of actually coming home to myself because it talks about somewhere only we know, and the we involved is me and my inner child, me and myself. So it's that self-mothering. That's what that track's always spoken to me about.
Beautiful.
Across an empty land, I knew the pathway like the back of my hand. I felt the earth beneath my feet, sat by the river, and it made me complete. Oh, Oh, simple thing, where have you gone? I'm getting old and I need something to rely on. So tell me when you're gonna let me in. I'm getting tired and I need somewhere to begin.
That makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So you're back here on Mother Speaks with me, Clara Apollo, here on UK Health Radio with my guests on this episode, Jen Flint and Lee Swile, talking of the conscious decisions behind making about having a child-free life. And you just heard that beautiful track by Keane called Somewhere Only We Know, which Lisa's chosen. So let's hand over to you, and maybe you want to explain a little bit more about why you chose that track and how that sort of sits with you as choosing also to not have a child in this incarnation.
Yeah, that's an interesting one for me. And I think my decision started when I was very young. So probably, I think I was around the age of 6 or 7, and unbeknownst to me, that was when the decision, the seed was kind of put into my psyche. Like a lot of us out there, I had quite a traumatic background, and it's one of those things that you live through and you move through and you become strong as a consequence of. And within that traumatic background, there was a moment of time where I was a party to a conversation between the adults in the room, and there was a social worker there. And me and my sisters, I have two sisters, the social worker basically said there was a 14-day staying period before we would have been taken into care. And then she left the room and left the house. And so I didn't hear anything else in the conversation, like children don't, but I heard that bit. And so I was a questioner as a child, and I started questioning, and I started asking questions. What did that mean? What did that mean going into care? Where would I be?
And the adults in their way told me that it would be a children's home. And I was like, well, what do you mean a home for children? Why are there homes for children? Why aren't the families the homes for children? And the questions went on and on and on. And luckily, that didn't happen. I didn't go into a home, but in that, well, my sisters didn't go into a home, but in that period of time, I learned a heck of a lot about the children out there that were unwanted, or for one reason or another, like our, you know, basically in our family, mum had died and dad just didn't have the time to look after us. And we were lucky because we found other ways around that rather than having to go into care. But there are a lot of children out there that don't have that kind of support around them to be able to stay in a home, in a family home space. They go through the system into the foster system. If they're lucky, they get adopted, but they are in the children's home arena. And so as a very young child, I was awakened to a world that it's not a world that children generally are kind of open to. And I didn't realize that when I grew up, that that would be the seed to me not becoming a mother. Because, you know, as we talk about the pronatalism, I went on through my life and I chose partners hoping to have kids with them and realized quite late on that a crescendo point around my late 30s of the fact that rather than seeing myself as the victim, I'd been in a lot of therapy. I realized that I'd actually been making choices to have partners that would never, ever consider having children, whether it was with me or any other woman. And that actually that wasn't down to poor me. It was actually down to my choices because part of me didn't want to have children. And so there was an unraveling that went on during my therapy time. And the unraveling took me right back to that time when I was a child. And the realization that actually I had come to the conclusion back then that there were far too many children in the world already that needed support, that weren't getting the support and were in situations in homes and being fostered or not, or variations on a theme. And what then happened for me was a conscious decision, I suppose, of like, well, what did mothering mean to me? And this, you know, to pick up on what you were saying, Jen, what do I do if I decide not to have children? And for me, I have a very open and mothering nature. I mean, my friends all the way through my life have always said, you know, you'd make a great mom. I've always been like the favorite around people's children. You know, often I've had children say that I'm coming to see them and not their mums or dads. So I decided to just test out how I was in working with children, just to see and just to alleviate some of the grief that was going on, to be around children. If I wasn't going to have children of my own, did this mean I wasn't going to have children in my life, or was it only going to be through friends? And I thought, well, let's go and do some work. So I became a play worker. Well, I did some volunteering up in community service volunteers up in Bristol. I don't think it exists now, but they were impressed with what I did, and they put me through my play work level 2. It's another side of my career running concurrently with my shiatsu work that I don't often talk about, but actually I've done over the years play work, forest school leader, volunteer coordinator. I've done play schemes, I've youth work, community development, all working specifically with the children, running different community, you know, spaces and stuff like that, helping them build shelters and, you know, doing young inspectors to inspect services around the areas. And I did this for a period of about 10 years, but it was away from my normal life. I think I kind of kept it as this kind of secret little thing that I did that was a part of my career. It's funny. And then I dropped it all because the charity sector kind of got very difficult to be a part of. The funding wasn't there. And it's kind of been poking me on the back of the shoulder for quite some time. And I've, in more recent years, you know, been a shiatsu practitioner and worked with a lot of adults and had a craving, you know, somewhere. And it's the craving I realize now that is about where my mothering wants to be,
yes,
which is with the greater amounts of children. It's for me, it's not about being a mother of one child, two child, three children. It's about being that role model figure for
many children. And as a consequence of that, I'm very excited to say that in the last few months, I've actually taken on board a couple of days' work in my recovery period from breast cancer. I'm coming back out into work, and I'm doing a couple of days as a teaching assistant in a primary school. I can't tell you how much I love it. Working with 8 and 9 year olds, they're great. And it just gives me an opportunity to be that, just that brief role model in their lives for that period of time. And it's been amazing to feel that mothering energy, and my variation of what that looks like for me, supporting children, you know. And that just touches that young girl in me that, you know, needed that at the time, and, you know, would have been in a world where she was without that support. So that's how I've kind of come to this place.
Beautiful. I really recognize something you said there has really resonated with me, Lisa, about this idea of, I think I have great respect for anybody who, I think, especially consciously takes on the role of being a parent. I think it's an incredibly tough job to do well. And I think my way of thinking about it is that it's a very singular thing. It's a very intense role, and it demands your time and energy in a very intense way in this little unit of your family. And I think what I recognize very like you is, it wasn't how I felt my energy wanted to be expressed. And I think for me, it was about, and I think this is the beautiful gift that's come from ambivalence, because I'm so grateful now that I was ambivalent for so long, because I realized it wasn't binary. It wasn't yes to want to be a mom or not. There was something in between the crack. There was something to be excavated, which is exactly what you said about, I don't want the role of that in how I understand a mother to look biologically, but I've got this pulsing, vibrant, hungry mothering energy that wants to come through. And I think that was what was there. That, I think that's why I was ambivalent, because it, and I had to kind of almost separate. There is something there, but it's not about being a mother per se. And I think what's come on the back of it for me is about, part of that's been about writing my book, but what's emerging at the moment is I can feel this energy towards wanting to work with young women. So I think my leadership work, my coaching work is starting to go in that direction. So I have a similar thing of, like, I want to spread that quite wide rather than it being focused and singular inside a family unit. And that just didn't feel like the way my energy wanted to get expressed. So yeah, thank you for that. That really resonates. Yeah.
I mean, it's also this, for me, it's become a wider issue as well, because within the family unit, as we see these days, that I've seen a lot through the play work that I've done, there is often there's a lack in terms of the amount of kind of role models and examples the children are getting, because we don't have the extended families so much these days. So they don't have those figures in their lives to kind of see and to emulate. It's like everything's been downsized into like the box form almost. And in the last 20 years, I feel that children have become a lot more insular. And so they, you know, because they do learn. It's been proven they do learn from everything they see around them, more than what they're being told and taught. And therefore, they need to have the good role models out there, the people that are going to show them potentially which other ways, you know, of being a human, of being a good human and a value in this world can look. And one of the things for me that is really important, I suppose that touches on my own story. And, I'm not a therapist. However, I do believe that children of all kinds need to find a sense of confidence in their own skills and abilities. That often within the family units, that maybe is kind of knocked against because of patternings that come through and dysfunctions that come through. And I feel like women like ourselves and others who don't have children, there is a responsibility to that generation, to the next generation, to be the support, to be the ones that can show different ways of being, more functional patterning out there.
in the ways that we've lived our lives. I mean, I had a lot of therapy. So, you know, for me, it's like I'm modeling the fact that it's actually good to have therapy. It's a positive thing, you know, to these young people. I had conversation only the other week with a little 9-year-old about the fact that, you know, I go and talk to somebody if I'm not feeling happy, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's just starting to make those things, normalizing those things a lot more. And that's really, really important to me and what I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah. I was going to build on that from the perspective of my way into therapy was exactly the same, in the sense of I don't know what to do with this ambivalence. And I think I was, when I look back now, I was trying to, I was disconnected from myself, really. I was very in my masculine energy. I was, I didn't really have a strong sense of like who I was and connection, in that sense of being at home and at peace in yourself. I remember feeling for a long time as an adult really uncomfortable in my own skin. And I think for me, and talking to a lot of women who've particularly chosen to be child-free, I think because you're going against the grain, you are othered, and you have to combat, I think, a lot of cultural messages. I think there's an invitation there to go deeper, to really connect to, like, what is it that I want? Who am I? What kind of life do I want to create? So I think, regardless of whether anybody ends up choosing to be a parent or not, I think having that self-inquiry, intentionally leading your life, I call it leading your life by design, not default, I think is one of the most powerful and beautiful and important gifts that we can give anybody. So I think it's wonderful to be, you know, like you're saying, to be role modeling that and opening that conversation for young people so they know they've got a choice, and be empowered in the choice that's going to be make your heart sing, that's going to fulfill you, and that you're going to be able to put your energy into it in a really wholehearted way, and know whichever path you take, it's completely valid and equal. And I think that's, yeah, we need to have more stories, I think, like ours out, just so that young women particularly know that, especially in an age where we're seeing some of the, you know, the bodily autonomy being rolled back, for example, in Roe v. Wade. I think it's even more important now for that message to be out there.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you so much. There's a piece I want to pick up on that you've both been speaking about so beautifully. But we need to go to another break, and a track that you've chosen this time, Jen. Would you like to tell us what it is and why you've chosen it, please?
Yeah, it's John Batiste. I hope I've pronounced his name correctly, called Freedom. Every time I listen to this, and I'm finding it more as I get older, because I'm so at peace with all the choices I've made, this speaks to me about the freedom to choose the life you want to live, and how liberating it is to know that you're aligned to your true nature.
Freedom, freedom, I'm gonna get, 'cause it's my whole shit. I'm stuck to the dance floor with the whole tape. With the whole tape.
Can you make it break?
That makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So you're back here on Mother Speaks with me, Clara Apollo. You're on UK Health Radio and I'm here with Jennifer Flynn and Lise Lily Wild. We're talking about the child-free life and the choices that come from deciding not to have your own children, but to indeed be so aware of the children being brought up in our culture and the young adults, the young women that they're becoming. But you know what, as you were just speaking about this, about what it is you're adding to bring the confidence in to the younger generation. There's a piece here also for mothers who have been through child rearing that have been so focused on bringing up their kids, they've forgotten who they are. You know, and we've got sisters like you going, here's some things to consider here. Here's some ways to come back into yourself. So again, when we get back to these communities, these cross-generational communities, and each of us having a role to play in that community, that we all support each other no matter what decisions we make. I just feel this is really warming my heart that there's a real gem coming from this. Choosing not to have your own child means that you've got more energy for other things.
That's really interesting. And what's resonating for me is when I published my novel last year, Wild Egg, which is very much inspired by my journey, although it's a fictional account of it. What I hadn't prepared for at all was the number of women who read the book who are mothers, who came back to me and said, wow, it's really made me think about, and often they would say, I just fell into it. I didn't really know that I had a choice, or, you know, or I kind of felt like I sort of was pressured into it. But who were talking from the point of view of, this is what I'm exploring now that my kids are leaving home or have left home or I'm getting older. It's almost like, I think I've come to believe that a lot of the existential questions and inquiry that you perhaps go through inwardly when you're consciously choosing not to do the thing that is positioned as the rite of passage for a woman is what a lot of women then later in life, after they've had their kids, you know, the whole empty nesting, suddenly go, oh my goodness, I've realised that I've come kind of back out the other side from this intense experience. It takes so much energy on every level, and on left going, hang on a second, who am I beyond the role of mother? Because it's so consuming. And I think it's almost like, I'm using that in a very general way, have done some of that inward work because we've just done it at a different point in our lives. So I think there's a real beautiful synergy and conversation that I'm certainly finding I hadn't expected to have. And it's really, Yeah, it's beautiful and it's heartwarming, and I think it really feels like, and I get frustrated because I think I don't agree with or like the fact that I think pronatalism tries to put a wedge between the childless and the child-free and between parents and non-parents. I think it's about coming together as women, and because we all have a shared experience in this culture of pronatalism that affects us, and how can we support each other to really come home to ourselves in the fullest expression of who we are as women?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it's, you know, we need to find our full expression somehow. I mean, you know, for myself, as Clara mentioned, I've just been through a whole breast cancer situation, and the breasts very much for me represent that mothering energy. And I've had to really unpick a lot of the trauma in my background, and a lot of it settled with my mum. And in fact, because I didn't really know her, she died when I was quite young, but my sense is that she was probably one of those women who, like ourselves, probably wouldn't have chosen to have children had that been the option during that time, but was overwhelmed with that situation and then the breakdown of the marriage and the situation with that. And so gave up, just instead of continuing on, just decided to give up and kind of, you know, went down a whole track, and which ended in her demise. And that had a profound effect on me. Mm. And the unpicking of that for me in later life, you know, and it's like, and this is what I'm saying when I talk about the role modeling. It's, I suppose for myself, because of my own journey, it's become an essential part of my story to be that person, be the best variation of myself that I can be. Because if any child out there is going to see me and see that, and that is going to give them something that they can emulate at some point in their life, maybe they won't remember my name, but they'll remember that moment and that conversation, and it's going to help them make some different choices so they don't end up down a track of needing masses of therapy for a lot of trauma in their backgrounds, because they had that one person, that wing woman, if you like, who was like that, you know, mothering role model somehow. And that's, you know, it's because it's like the whole cancer story for me felt very much like I was going in, and I got this very strong download of I was going in, and it was a stage three. So it was touch and go in terms of whether, you know, it would have metastasized. Luckily for me, it didn't. But I felt like I was going in to experience, to then come out. And I've written a lot about it. And my mum, I've written about her as well. And the realizations of the love that I had for her, even though she wasn't available to me. And there's something around, you know, separating our love for our mother in terms of, you know, our ability to be mothers. It's like, it's not that they've failed if we don't become mothers. You know, my mum did the best that she could, and I'm sure both of yours, Clara, and yours, Jen, did as well. Mm. And it just doesn't mean to say just because we, you know, we are women that we need to be having children. But certainly we need to be looking at dealing with deeper levels of trauma within our lives, being mm-hmm. supportive to those young people, whoever they are out in our world, you know. And as women who don't have children, we have that, as you say, we have much more of an insight on that, to be able to step back, to be able to see the wider picture and where everything fits in. And it's that in between place between, you know, authorities or counseling, or, you know, the kind of more labeled kind of help that and support that's out there, and actually what community to me really means. This is all a part of it, you know. And in ancient communities, there would have been women like ourselves as well. We would have been medicine women. And that's kind of what we are now. And I feel like coming through the cancer story for me has really crystallized that inside me. That's what I am. That's what I carry. That's where I come from. And that's the seed of the motherhood that I bring to the table now.
Beautiful. I'm reflecting on as you're speaking there. I notice, and again, maybe this is just my experience, I don't know, but I notice, like, you know, a lot of my friends who are my age, sort of early 50s, who are now coming out of the other side of having had children relatively young, are ironically, it seems to me they're very in their masculine energy. So even though we have this idea of being a mother is the ultimate in femininity, I don't experience that. What I notice is they're really good at being like, they roll their sleeves up, they manage everything, they're problem solved, they're looking after their husband, they're looking after their kids, they're sorting the house, they're managing all the relatives, they hold and do everything. So when it comes to being in the receiving energy and the beingness and the self-care, they really struggle with it. And I think that's the journey that I've been on, is like getting into that feminine energy and like loving myself and caring for myself and creating being more than doing and creating that space for myself and being more emergent and less of like a fixer and in that kind of energy, is now that I'm finding that I'm having conversations with my friends who are struggling, and they kind of recognize that they need to shift, but because they're so programmed and so used to giving to everybody else, they find it really hard, and they have this paradigm that it's selfish to self-care. But I think in a way, because I've made the choice not to have children and kind of had to go inward to bust some of those myths about, am I selfish? Is there something wrong with me? I've kind of feel like I've got a lot of skills and insights, and that now it's lovely because I'm almost helping them to go through their journey of how do they come back to looking at mothering themselves.
Oh, this is the key. It always comes around at the end of every episode here. It comes back to that. How are you mothering yourself? Mm. Because like you say, it's something that's almost been programmed out of us because of this awful word, selfish. I mean, stop it. Mm. Let's just eradicate that word. It's not helpful. Just put blames and shame on you. Mm. When it's this self-mothering, this, you know, self-full. Because when we take care of ourselves, we're then more able to be of use to anyone else, you know? And this is the big piece, I think, that keeps coming round again and again. Will you look after yourself? Please, will you mother yourself well? Oh, ladies, it's been so amazing having you here on the show. Thank you so much for your time and your wisdom. Jen, how can people find out more about you? Where can they go?
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. I could have talked for hours. So I'm quite active on Instagram at wildegg21, all lowercase, and on Twitter at Jennifer Flint, FLINT5.
Thank you. And how about you, Lise?
So I'm quite active on Instagram. You can find me under Shiatsu Wild Lise, and that's WILDLYS. Facebook, Lise Lily Wild. And also, I've got my website, which is www.wildrelease. So that's wildrelease.com.
Yay. And you've been doing a few funky things on TikTok as well, haven't you? I've seen you in there. That's been really good. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I feel like a group hug is here, really. Oh, bless you all. Thank you so much for what you shared. And yes, if you're looking to add more energy, wisdom, magic into what you do, you may like to drop over to my website, claraapollo.com. This is claraapollo.com, where you will find access to courses in elemental qigong and hypnotic inner alchemy meditations, the likes of which help me stay stable in these shifting times. You know, it's like I can feel this sort of percolation of my future self kind of like bubbling away inside, and these energy embodiment moves and meds really do help to keep me steady as I kind of anchor into the heart of the earth to cultivate this humble power that enables me to do what I'm here to do. But I can't do this alone. None of us really can. And this is where our Wake Up Mother community comes into its own. You know, the whole project is developing like a wise mother. And in a couple of weeks, the other women involved with setting up the Mother Speaks Radio, I'm talking about Sarah Lloyd, Zoe Foster and Kathy Bell, will be back in again to explain what's been going on behind the scenes and what our plans are for moving forwards. Oh, yes, it is rather exciting, but there is already much for you to lean into via the website wakeupmother.com and the Wake Up Mother _community on Instagram as well. So yeah, as we're coming towards the end of the show, it's just remembering that our inner fortitude, our physical abilities and our mental health are our greatest allies at this time of great change. And so we can remind each other to step into the self-mothering, and here on our mothership, we can hold one another in recognition and respect and awe and wonder and love. And you're included because you're here with us now. So why don't we take a deep breath in to our bellies and receive this affirmation. So breathing in now. You're doing so well, sister. Stay steady. Be with your breath, your heart, and your truth gifts. Notice what's already supporting you and prepare to receive all the treasure that is so clearly on its way to you now. And I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Mother Speaks. And if you'd like to listen again or share with a friend, you can do so here on ukhealthradio.com or on our podcast stream, Mother Speaks Radio. And next week, the dance choreographer, film director and author of The Path of the Priestess, Sharon Rose, is with us, revealing how aligning with your inner priestess can assist your self-care revolution. So until next time, keep your chi up, my friend. And thank you so much for listening to Mother Speaks on UK Health Radio.